to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 925 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. Before we get too far, I do want to cordially invite you to the Dude Grows Cup. That's right, the Dude Grows Cup is coming back to Longmont, Colorado. It is happening June 6th and 7th. I will be there. Mike will be there. Scotty Real will be there. The Dude will be there. Grambo Grows will be there. The only person missing is you. So come join us at the Dude Grows Cup in Longmont, Colorado, June 6th and 7th. For all of the info you need, do check out dgccup.com. Also, speaking of the Dude Grows Cup, I am doing a pre-order for merch on my website. That's right, there are three different t-shirt designs available and one hoodie design available. My goal is to get that merch pre-ordered and then sent to me and then distributed to you so that you can wear it to the Dude Grows Cup. Show up to the Dude Grows Cup wearing Irie Genetics or Grow From Your Heart merchandise. That could be a hat, a t-shirt, a hoodie, any of the merchandise that I've put out, any official merchandise that I've put out, that I made, that I put out. Show up to the Dude Grows Cup wearing Grow From Your Heart podcast or Irie Genetics merchandise, and I will give you a free gift. Stop by the booth, say hello, introduce yourself, say, hey, look, I'm wearing merch, I'm wearing gear, and I will toss you a free gift. So get your pre-order in so that we can get that shipped to you in time for the Dude Grows Cup. All right, I think that is all of the advertising to cover here at the start of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's jump into everybody's favorite part of the podcast. That, of course, is the question and answer portion of the show. I have a website. I have two websites. One of them is Irie Genetics. On the top of that website, there's a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you are given the opportunity to send me a grow question. If I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free prize on my other website, Irie Direct. Yes, there are two websites. Yes, it does make sense. Anyway, today's first question from the website came from somebody who wants to be called Albie Growing for Life, but they spelled it like an owl. So Albie Growing for Life. I dig it. Owl, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free prize from Irie Direct. The question says, when do you know a female plant is too far along to receive pollen? That's a very good question. I'm going to do a lot of breeding questions here coming up because in the future, they're going to change the seed shipping laws, and I want to make sure that everybody can produce their own seeds and stay self-sufficient. So this question is, how do you know when a female plant is too far along to receive pollen? Let's talk about that. The pollen receiving parts of the plant are what you guys call the hairs. Those are the pistils, those little dandelion, little fuzzy things on your plant. That is what receives pollen. They can be pollinated basically anytime they pop up until the time they wither and start to fade away. They can receive pollen. There are prime times for pollination when those dandelions are super thick and it looks like a big fuzzy ball of whiteness on there, a big white fuzzy, it's a dandelion is what it looks like to me. That's when it is most ready for pollen. And then from there, it starts to slowly, you'll see those pistils, those hairs go from thick white, they'll start to curl in a little bit, then they'll start to turn kind of orangish and then they'll go brown. Once they start turning orangish, they've probably lost their ability to receive pollen. You want to hit them when they're white, when they're still kind of clear. They got like a clear translucent sort of thing if you get close up to them. But you want to get them when they're white before they start to change colors. That would be ideal. Too far along is when they started to turn brown and recede into that flower. That means that plant has missed its peak pollination time. Usually, depending on the plant, the cultivar, and the room also, this will make a difference. So let's just talk about two different plants. I've talked about this a lot of times. The Platinum Tangi plant that makes Orangegasm, that plant needs to be pollinated around day like 24, 25. That's perfect for that plant. But the Strawberry Fields plant that makes the Raphael or the Strawberry Burst, that one needs pollen around like day 32. So it's kind of plant specific, but you can see it in the plant. You can see that that development happened earlier also means that the timing for those plants may be, one may be shorter, one may be longer. So you just have to watch the plant and see when those big white fuzzies kind of recede. So usually it's about day 23 to 28, maybe 32-ish is peak pollination time. Then it starts tapering off after that, but it is also very plant specific. You get about a 2 or 3 week window where they can really take some pollen. Then after that, it starts withering up and fading away. All right, my dude, check your inbox because you've got a free prize from Irie Direct. Let's keep this momentum going. This next question came from somebody that wants to be called Roast. Shout out to Roast. Make sure you check your inbox, bro. This question said, do you scrog? The quick answer is yes, I do. I scrog heavily. Depending on the environment, the size of the plants, the goal, what I anticipate, I do at least one net in almost every grow. Oftentimes I'll do two. If I'm going crazy and growing stuff like maybe the machine, maybe Lemon Jeffrey, Lemon G, of course, I would put up a triple trellis system. I would do three nets. Let me read more into the question, then we can elaborate. It says, if you do, how high above your pots do you start your netting? And do you use more than one net? I decided to start playing around with scrogging. I would love to hear your input. Thanks for everything you do. Bro, thank you for the great question. Thank you for the great input. So how high above the pots? Let's just hypothetically, we're saying a five by five grow tent. Shout out to our friends at AC Infinity. Make sure to use coupon code IREARMY at acinfinity.com. But let's just say you're getting a 5x5 grow tent and you got 3 gallon pots. So those are this tall. I would say about 10 to 14 inches, maybe 10 to 18 inches off of the pot is where I would put my first net. This kind of depends on how long I intend to veg these plants and how big I completely plan to get them. My current crop is a quick turn and burn, shorter crop. I don't have a lot of time to get it done. I had to fit it in a time zone. So those are smaller. My net is much lower because I didn't let them grow as much. Ideally, it would go a little bit higher and I would defoliate and lollipop everything below that first net. So just be big branches coming out. All the sucker branches, all the bullshit that don't make it up to the net would get cleaned right off of there. So somewhere between 10 and 18 inches, maybe 10 and 16 inches above that first pot. That depends on the goal, the veg time, the cultivar. There's some adjustments in there. Start off about 12 inches above the pot. Let them all grow into that and then pull them down or put the net there and keep them low, however you want to do it, but weave them into that. About 12 inches above the pot might be ideal to start for your first try. Then let them fill the net, then let them veg a little bit more, then put them into flower, put another net up there for them to grow into to catch them and support them. If I were doing the machine, Lemon Jeffrey, Han Solo Burger, Bill Cipher, of course, then I would put another trellis up because they're going to grow real tall into those. The first one is to spread it. The second one is to kind of guide it. And the third one is for full support when I do the triple trellis system. More than one, started playing around. Would love to hear my input. My input, I'm really good at trellising, but I don't know if I'm the best at describing it because it's not, I don't focus 100% on it. It's kind of my zen zone also. I'll get into the grow and just start, I'll watch the way the plant's growing and I'll look around and I'll see where is there empty space. My goal, when I start flowering, I want to have one bud coming up through every square of my net. That's a 3x3 square section. So every 3x3 should have one branch, one bud coming up so I could fill the room with that many bud sites. If you guys have seen my, used to put it on Instagram, can't do that anymore. I used to share pictures of my packed 5x5 tents. If you come to Discord, you could see that. My 5x5s are stuffed wall to wall. And we're going to talk more about that in the future too. In the future, we're going to talk about, I see a lot of you guys, fuck it, here we go. We're going to do it right now. I see a lot of you guys filling your rooms. You think they're full. You put like 4 or 5 gallon pots in there and you leave a lot of space. There's a lot of real estate in that 5x5. If you're going to scrog, fill the whole room before you flip. I don't want to see the floor through your scrog. If I can look into that room and see floor, there's a spot that could be filled into that scrog. Fill that shit. Our friend Subcool taught us a long time ago. He taught me this. If I gave you a cooler and I said, fill that with beer, would you put a couple of beers along the bottom or would you fill that bad bitch with beer strategically? Let's do the same thing with our grow. Let's get every, so we've got, and then also let's combine this with an article that I read from a guy named Eric Bixa. He's a Canadian ganja grower. He used to write for a lot of magazines. He's a very knowledgeable dude. Shout out Eric. He's been around for a long time. Also shout out to Subcool. Rest in peace, brother. But if we take Eric's lesson, he taught us that the light has probably in a 5x5, we're getting a good 5x5 footprint, right? You get a 5x5 square is our space around. How deep does that light go? The LEDs that we're using now, they probably go about 3 feet into the canopy. So let's make a 5x5x3 foot deep section of as much flower as we can make. Why not fill this section with as much prime flower as you could possibly populate in that room? And so with Subcool's teaching of give you a cooler, you'd stuff it with beer. If I give you a 5x5 space, let's strategically stuff it with buds. And we can use the trellises to get nugs exactly where we want them. So why not? Every 3x3 square. And Eric's article, if you guys want to research this article, it's been probably 10 or 20 years since I've read the article. It is called Growing on the Grid by Eric Bixa. Send him a message. Let him know that Rasta Jeff is still talking about this article because it did something in my brain. It makes sense. If the light goes this deep and the light is this giving us this much of a footprint, let's fill that whole fucking section right there with the best prime buds that we can and make as much ganja as we can. So that's kind of my thought process. That's why and how I learned to scrog. And I do it, it's my art form. It's sometimes I let the plants grow tall and then I pull the net down and spread them out that way. Sometimes I put the net up there before the plants are even in the room and let them grow into it at my desired height. It depends on... It's all situational, and that's something super important about being a ganja grower is adapting and adjusting to that situation and environment. So I did the rant about fill that room. If you're gonna trellis it, if you're gonna scrog it out, the whole point is to fill it. You're paying for the electricity, you're paying for the nutrients, you're spending your time in there. It's real estate. That real estate is important. Let's maximize it. And if you're committing crime, fill the box of crime with as much crime as you can. Not that I would tell anyone to commit crimes. Let's get back to this question and talk about scrogging. Let it grow into the net, weave it in, weave that branch down, and then it's okay sometimes to let a branch grow and grow out a little more and then come back to it. If you've got a branch that is this tall, I'm using my arm, so I hope you're watching on the video. Join us on the video chat. If you're watching the video, maybe you need the wrist to bend down, right? Maybe this is where it's too high. My advice is to go at the elbow and bend it way down here and pop this section and bend it and then let that part grow, because if you just bend at the wrist, tomorrow that's going to have grown up. So you'll learn how to kind of manipulate lower and start further down the branch and start manipulating that way to weave it in a little bit. Something I really need to do right now is give a big shout out. I know it's been shout out city, but let's send a shout out to a guy who calls himself Mr. Scroggit. Mr. Scroggit does the best scrogs you will ever find. They're great. They're well organized. He's got a good method, and he does a lot of videos guiding you through exactly this process. I don't need to do a scrog video. First off, anytime I put a live living plant on this channel, YouTube takes it down. They say, oh, you can't do that. Harmful and dangerous content. So I can't put a live plant up here. Mr. Scroggit, he's able to put plants up. So go watch a bunch of his videos. Tell him that I sent you, that I respect him, that I like his work, and that there's not a many better scroggers out there than Mr. Scroggit. I agree with 95% of what he does. There are a couple of things that I do not do that he recommends, which is just fine. I'm not saying he's wrong. I just choose not to do it. I feel that my method is working better for me. So, read about scrogging, look at it through Mr. Scroggit, and find which methods work best for you. Combine those. But I do the triple trellis, triple layer. The first one is spreading them out and holding them down. I'll take plants that are 4 feet tall and knock them down to 2.5 feet tall, 2 feet tall maybe with a trellis net, and spread them out. And the idea here, you guys, why am I trellising? Because I don't need these big buds touching the light already. Like, we're only in the first week of flower. I could bring them way down with a trellis net, bend them over and spread them out, put them horizontal, and then all those little shoots and little branches that we're going to... So the branch grows this way and the little buds develop around it off all those little shoots, and that's how you get one big giant glory bud. If we tip that over, all those little shoots grow straight up and make uniform-sized smaller buds. And I know you said smaller buds, a lot more smaller buds. You don't have one bud right by the light. You have a bunch of buds down lower below the light, getting an even light distribution. And then when it comes time to trim, your buds are much more uniform. You get a much less likelihood of a mold problem because you don't have big giant buds. You have a bunch of medium-sized buds. And mathematically, it's better. You don't want two giant buds. You want a whole bunch of medium-sized buds. It will mathematically add up better. You'll pull better weight. It'll be healthier flower, more usable flower. I think it makes sense. So that's Scrog. That's my rant on Scrog. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Who? Mr. Scroggit. What? Scroggit. Why? Maximize your space. How? Between my method, Eric Bix's method, and Mr. Scrog's method. That's how. All right. That was a great one. Thank you for asking that great question. Before we go any further, now is a good time to remind you to click like and subscribe. That's right. If you've made it this far, you like the show, click like. And if you want more, click subscribe. YouTube has made it clear they're not going to introduce me to new subscribers. So if you see this, please do click subscribe because I might not pop up in your algorithm in the future. Do I have any more notes to remind you of? Also patreon.com/growfromyourheart. Let's keep the momentum going. I do have another question here. This one came from somebody who wants to be called Ryan. Shout out Ryan. Thank you for the good question. Check your inbox. You've got a coupon code for a free prize at Irie Direct. This question says, Rasta Jeff, I noticed one of my male plants has larger, more dense clusters of flowers than the others. And I'm wondering if that is a quality that would transfer to the progeny. And then he said specifically into the female progeny. And probably is my answer. I can't guarantee it, but probably yes. That is probably a strong trait. That big flower cluster that should probably transfer into your breeding. The only way to do it is to do it, my dude. It sounds like you've got a great candidate. So take that plant and breed with him. And then my other idea was, if you've got another male plant that you think looks like a good candidate and you're not sure, do both. You can't do both breeding projects at the same time. Don't get selfish here. You will have a Maury Povich situation, but take clones of both of them, run one of those males, get pollen from him, pollinate some girls, then take the other clone, run him, get pollen from him, pollinate some girls. It sounds like a long time. It sounds like a lot of time project, but it's not really that long to go two quick breeding projects. It won't take you that much time, and you'll have infinite seeds to play with, and you can grow mix A and mix B and experiment, and it will be so much fun. It will be worth it. So that's my recommendation. Take the one that's making big fat flower clusters, pollinate with him, grow those seeds. Take the other one also, pollinate with that one, grow those seeds, and see what is better. This is going to be a great learning lesson for you if you do it. You can identify a lot of things that come from that male pollen donor, especially if you were to pollinate 3 to 5 of the same females with these two different pollen donors. I like to use chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. That's where I always start. And then we'll say banana and something else. I don't know what the other one is. Get fucking creative. But let's hit with plant A, the big flower cluster, hit all those. And then the other one that's got other traits, there's another one you're looking at. That's the way it always goes. Hit all those other plants, grow them out. We're going to get a lot of data from that because now we can see what is dominant and recessive from this plant in all these mixes. And on this side as well, you can see what the girls do in the mix, what the boys do in the mix. You can see what is common across this side of the breeding. If it happened in all of the offspring here, that came from this boy. If it happened from all the offspring here, that came from this boy. If it happened from all of the offspring across the board, that is happening from grandma and grandpa or just in the main genetics of the two pollen donors. It'll give you a lot of data and a lot of data points to look at and think about. And you can definitely make a great breeding project from that because you'll have two different males making completely different offspring from 3 to 5 different ladies. You can find so many different things in there and work so many different ways. I recommend doing that. I'm excited. I want to do it now. Send me clones of your two favorite dudes. I'll get down to work and do some breeding for you. My dude, check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free prize from Irie Direct. How long have we been going? I made a note of it, but I had moved that paper. We got plenty of more time. Let's answer one more question here. This one came from somebody who wants to be called E-Man. Shout out to E-Man. This question said, my question is related to seed making. That is great because we're really focused on seed making right now. said, "But first, I want to thank you for the recent pack of seeds I got from you. I was Bill Cipher, and I'm super excited to see how those produce." My dude, so am I. Bill Cipher is such a great grower. Good vigor, good flavors, good aromas, good potency, great daytime buzz. Good shit. Let's get as focused as we can and read this question. Said, "With the looming seed ban, I've been more and more interested in making my own seeds." Oh, excuse me for that horrific burp. We're not even going to edit that. Shout out to Adolfo's. Yeah, I had some Mexican food earlier, and it is a workin'. Ooh, and here comes the heartburn. That is fire. The wrong kind of fire. All right, let's stay focused, boys. It says, "I'm interested in making my own seeds as backups of the stuff I like." That's a very good idea. My question, very well written, is, if you need to harvest and my question is if you need to harvest and completely dry the flower and then get the seeds out after, or can you pull the seeds out from the wet buds? Any tips for seed harvesting? If you've been following along, if you've been listening, you know that my unit of measurement for getting the seeds out of the plants is dry as fuck. It is so much easier to get the seeds out of the plants if they're dry. You can pull them out while they're wet. I wouldn't recommend it. It's a pain in the ass. You're going to get super sticky. It's going to take forever. There's a couple options. If you want to smoke the flower, dry and cure the buds just like you normally would. Hang them, dry them, and cure them, and trim them. Then when it comes time to smoke, clean it over a tray and just break it up with your fingers. No grinder anymore because you got seeds in there. Maybe the grinder won't crush the seeds. It probably will. So break it up by hand onto your tray and then pull your seeds out like that for yourself if it's just a personal batch of seeds. If you're doing big batches, the way that I do it, I hang the plants until they are dry as fuck. That is a valid unit of measurement. Then I crush that material up with my hands into dust, and then the seeds roll out of the other side and the dust goes the other side. I do have a machine that I cheat and use, but dry as fuck is the way to do it. Every method I'm thinking of requires it to be dry as fuck. I've said that enough times, right? Super dry is my preferred way. When it's wet, it's going to be so sticky. And I said the other night to somebody, friends don't let friends wet trim. And pulling the seeds out of wet buds feels a lot like wet trimming. So I'm not going to let you do that, bro. Get it dry, and then get the seeds out that way. And I know a lot of people want to use the flower material and also get seeds. It's a good idea, but sometimes just focus on one or the other and realize it's two different tasks. You're making seeds or you're growing flowers. Those are two different jobs. If you can make both happen in the same, more power to you. But when I pull the seeds out of my buds, I beat the weed up so bad that it's not really smokable. You could, but it wouldn't be enjoyable for most people. And it hasn't been dried and cured very well. I just hang it, let it dry, and then I pull the seeds out. You can make edibles out of it, but when we make BHO out of it, it's been beat up so bad that there's so much chlorophyll broken up that the chlorophyll comes out, the concentrates come out green. So I've been rambling long enough. I think I answered that question. Dry as fuck is the bottom line. All right, make sure you check your inbox, free seeds from iRedirect. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you amazing ganja farmers out there, I want to thank you once again for listening to another episode. Don't forget that next week there will be a giant sale. I'm doing the 420 sale on 410 at iRedirect. That's a lot of info. Make sure you check iRedirect next week. No coupon codes needed. Everything will be on sale. All the new shit will drop. Make sure you check the website. Also, check out our friends at acinfinity.com or check the link in the show notes and the video description. Use coupon code IREARMY at checkout. Save yourself 10%. And of course, I will see you at the Dude Grows Cup in June. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all I've got for you for this episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to send a big thank you shout out to my buddy Ruck. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me. Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Ross and Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, hug your mom, and relax. Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show from the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibras that Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, pure bliss.
Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Chef will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light, we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new.